Good afternoon. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Dan Cahoon, the Global IT Director for FP Mailing Solutions. So good afternoon, Dan. How you doing?
Good afternoon, Mark. I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. I got to tell you, I love your background. I've actually been to that spot on Earth numerous times. It's actually quite beautiful there.
Yes, yes. It is lovely. It's a beautiful place.
Yes. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work history?
Yes. Thank you again for the invite. So what FP Mailing Solutions is not exactly a household word. However, you'd probably recognize an ATM that connects with a bank and you draw funds from it. You could deposit into it, things like that. That's basically what FP Mailing Solutions, one of the core channels that we are involved with, is postage type of devices that connect with the U.S. It's USPS, and in Canada, it's Canada Post, Deutsche Post in Germany, Franco Post in France. And it's basically an ATM. We lease and sell other devices that are the folder inserters, the gluers of envelopes, stampers, things like that, that you might historically see from either a doctor's office or somebody trying to communicate with you that doesn't necessarily have a big a huge budget, let's say. So our devices are mostly in small to medium-sized businesses, like the mom and pops, the barber shop, the restaurants, hotel chains, and also in the shared working type spaces. There'd probably be a common postal setup there, and that's what we would do. We have about 70,000 customers in the United States, so it's not really a small business. Most of our model is leasing. And what we have with that is a separate infrastructure for IT, a postal infrastructure. And then we also have other traditional IT environment for our users, our customers to order supplies, pay invoices, things like that. So we have to have two different types of skill sets to actually work within the IT department. One is with 70,000 smaller customers, a lot of modem still is used. A lot of digital is getting invoked and exercised. There's a team about 55 employees globally in the FP IT department. As IT leader, I set the culture and the personality to follow one of business relationships along the development cycles and the operations. Also, I work with the budget for IT, and I also work with the KPI analysis. So I set the strategy. I work with the IT roadmap, make sure the budget matches the possibility of executing that strategy to get it out to the enterprise. And I work with a lot of the IT people, of course, but I also leverage a lot of time and interaction with the enterprise people, the business users, the business unit managers, the executive steering committees, and things like that. So it's wearing a lot of hats. That's actually fairly interesting what we get involved with.
Yeah, so you said you have 55 people in IT. Is that all of it? Is that development and IT infrastructure support?
That is all of it. It's everything from obviously help desk, desktop support, to the postal infrastructure side, the product development, new product development, web portals, applications for ERP, and CRM and websites. And that would be encompassing of the staff. Now, we do occasionally run into situations where we have to use some flexible labor situations. Mm-hmm. So we'll reach out to contractors, we'll reach out to participants that maybe we only need them one day a week, for example. That we've actually got a listing of those type of participants as well. But the core is about 55.
Interesting. And I assume what your company does is you make it easier. You make it so your customers actually make less trips to the post office, correct?
Exactly. One of our competitors is very good at advertising that. That's more of a household name than we are. But that's exactly it. We're trying to build the capabilities for the customer to basically have on-site mailroom type services, so they don't have to go to the post office to buy stamps or postage. So they load their funds into the machine. The post office hangs onto it. When it's extracted for either the normal forever type stamp that you're familiar with, or if there's a scale that will weigh a package and you could put the correct postage on there for shipping as well. We're also in the parcel shipping space with our products because they come with a meter, a scale, and address verification process.
Interesting. So this being the 1 year anniversary of Stay in Place here in the Bay Area, I would assume your business picked up a fair amount about a year ago. Is that safe to say?
It is safe to say. We did gain and we did not lose. Be the other side of it. It's like, did anybody lose in this environment postage-wise from our competitors? And no, nobody really lost. In fact, everybody sort of had a slight increase or gain because this solves that problem of having to get to the post office. And so then you set up an account and you can set the package or packages on your front porch. The post office comes by, picks them up. We're also working with UPS and FedEx and some different entities to for shipping. So it's actually a fairly interesting service, particularly at times.
Yeah. And the other thing that happened about a year ago is online ordering and online purchasing increased. So I would assume you actually even got more customers. Is that true?
Yes, that is true. We've actually been able to diversify some of our product, some of our machinery a little bit differently to collect certain percentages in that increase. Because, you ordinarily you drop off a package on your way to your post office, or you maybe have a postal arrangement. Well, that's fairly new to some organizations. They didn't have that, or fairly new to some people. Like for somebody who does tax prep, for example, they traditionally drove to the post office and took their 30 or 100 returns that they were going to mail in. Now, what do? They don't want to leave the house. But they need a secure process that can track the packaging and the larger envelopes. And that's what our devices are for, and really help in that, to grow that customer interest in that type of product.
Wow. So, interesting. It seems like everything about your business would have expanded. And then you already were not a remote, but you were a distributed company, correct? You have developers in different parts of the world and probably sales and all that. And all of a sudden now your whole company, I'm assume, or most of your company went to remote work. And that fell squarely on your desk, I would assume.
It added added some extra effort required. We were traditionally a non-remote working organization. Certainly sales, you have field sales, you have that. You have certain executives that are out and about in the on business markets and things like that. Certainly you have a certain percentage. We also had the normal business processes, the invoicing, the AR, the accountable, customer service, that were always traditionally working in the environment in the office. So now when COVID, at that time it was called coronavirus, was just starting out, a few of us in the organization got together and said, how do we make this remote thing work? If we had to, better possibly shutting down the office 100%. we were able to get about 90% of the people that worked in the office to work remotely. The other 10% are that absolutely have to be in the facility, like shipping and the receiving individuals can't work from home. But the customer teams, the invoice AR teams, the accounts payable, finance, they even, so now what we've done is also inside sales can actually work from home. Marketing can work from home. It's the challenge that it has been from a couple points of view, and now we're supporting, now we're starting to bring people back into the office. But we had a lot of issues with, you know, users that weren't necessarily adapted fairly well to working remotely or working from home, because that's not what they did. They weren't used. So it's kind of a good reminder that our community of employees, I mean, sometimes you have to remind them you have a little bit more technology in your car and on your cell phone than you do on your desktop. And, so it's also working with them through those issues that they have with connectivity. So to get around that, we have a very good dedicated team of help desk support, but we had to add an external person to assist that, particularly as we are doing a split, half the office, half the employees are in the office at one time, half are working from home. So you have two environments that you're trying to support with one, the original resource set. So now we had to expand the resource set. But we've also run some webinars and workshops to sort of get the familiarity of the devices people are using at home. And then so they a little bit more comfortable with the remote connection. And what do you mean my internet's not working? I get the best there is. It's got to be working. You know, it's so it's kind of having those workshops kind of communicate what you know, mitigate around some of those issues, how to identify what the real issue is. And so that's cut down on a lot of the calls. We still get a certain amount because, you know, it's just the nature of desktop support. You're always going to have calls. But it's to help the user stay engaged, help them to understand the technology that they have, what is truly going on. And then, of course, there's the security aspect. We also switched to 24/7 remote monitoring for vulnerability issues to make sure that we're protected. We thought we were protected, of course, but we want that extra insurance of being protected. So we went third party. So a lot of what we talk about is we have a hybrid environment. We have on-premise, we have cloud, we have some that we manage in-house and some that we manage purely with third party. So a few differences came up because of all this, but you know, at the end of the day, it's really how you plan for disruptions and how do we tabletop drill for a disruption, regardless of what the disruption is. I mean, this is just another disruption type, but overall you kind of sort of practice how do you handle any kind of disruption. And you know, do you have a playbook? We have the business continuity practices that we have, a manual, also disaster recovery, but in this case we were more focused on the business continuity side. You keep the business running, and ironically, or by plan, I'll say plan, we didn't lose any customers through this process.
Wow.
They were able to pay their invoices. They were able to access their accounts. They were able to leverage their postage transactions. So we didn't have any issues where the customer said, forget this. This isn't working. I'm just going to shut down. They really didn't know we were working from home. Fairly successful.
Cool. And it sounds like you were well prepared, but, and now that you've been doing it for a year, do you think you're going to stay with the hybrid model, or you think you're going to bring everybody back into the office?
Well, that's a good question, because that's one I actually ponder a lot or consider. There's a couple of things there. There's a cultural aspect that's also in the works, because, people are very adapted over years of their work career of going through the rituals of working in an office or getting commuting or getting a coffee on your way to work. So working from home is more of a lifestyle change for many, many people, myself included. So you have that aspect. And I don't think remote work is going to go away across the board in every business. Ours, I don't think it's going to be sustainable long term, because I think people want to work in the environment with a team, so they can deal with the isolation, they can deal with the rituals of working and the meetings cadence and things like that. But in the very short term, I think in 2021, I think that's going to be still the norm, even inoculations come and everybody's set up. If anything, we've proven it works. Is it the best? It's hard to say. It depends on how you measure the KPI or what KPI you want to look at. But I don't think it's going away, but I don't think it's going to stay, particularly in my environment.
Interesting. Well, only time will tell. As you know, the traffic in Chicago, especially in the winter, can be pretty
bad. Well, you know, that's the nice thing is when it did snow, you look out the window and say, I'm glad I don't have to drive in this. You know, I'm glad the people don't have to, you know, they're going to speed because they're running a little bit late because of the snow, the traffic, et cetera. So you kind of roll out of bed and you have your coffee and turn your computer on, voila, you're at work. So there's some values to that. So it's really got to be weighed. It really gets into the culture of the leadership of an organization, what they want to do. Where you're at in the Bay Area there, you probably saw an experience similar to what I saw here in Chicago. All of a sudden, every job was being driven into the city of Chicago. Buildings were being shut down because not so much it was good for the employees that were all living in the suburbs and working in the suburbs, but because the leadership of the organization thought, I'm gonna move downtown. So that kind of caused a paradigm shift for a lot of us. I like the remote work. I like a nice blend of it. There's a lot of advantages to it. And being in IT, you learn that you can, if anybody can work remote, it's the IT people.
They certainly can.
And we also have the culture behind it, that, like the mindset. So there's going to be some things. I've often said, out of this pandemic, it's going to be interesting to see the leadership books, the white papers, to see what really is going to come out of all this experience that we've just got in the last year.
Yes. Yeah. I would agree. And I think it's probably going to come out sometime in 2022. I think once the dust settles, people are going to really, like, what really happened? And is are we better off than that?
Exactly. What really went on? What do we do the next time? Or how do we make this work a little better if something like this occurs? You know.
Yep, I agree. Sort of
planning.
Well, Don, I want to thank you for your time today. It's been great talking to you. I appreciate your services. I try to go to the post office as little as possible.
I'll hook you up with the meter. I appreciate that, Mark. I really do. You get a small device, like $12 or $15 a month.
That's pretty good.
That's probably, what they start.
Well, again, thank you again for your time and have a great week.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate your time and thanks for the considerations. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.